In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, both the epistle and the gospel readings for today convey a very similar theme. From his epistle to the Romans, Paul says, "Our salvation is nearer, and the day is at hand, for the night is far spent." And in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "Your redemption draweth nigh, and that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." Both passages indicate and stress that Christ will soon come. Now, for all intents and purposes, both passages, when they are spoken and written, point to our Lord's second advent, when Christ will come again to render to each according to his good or bad works. So why are these two readings then prescribed as we enter into this first advent, the advent of Christ's birth? Well, there are a number of reasons why the church does this. Perhaps the most obvious being that in order for Christ's second coming to have its desired effect upon the human race, Christ must first be born into our hearts. That's right. It starts with a birth. Much in the way in our spiritual and earthly journey began, with us being born into the world, so does our faith in Christ begin with his birth. Two separate occurrences, and yet inextricably linked for all the ages. In today's Mass is a preparation for this double advent. For the church is telling us that we are to approach and to receive both in the same way, through our prayers of mercy and the lifting up of our heads to Christ, placing our hope, as the choir has sung in this morning's gradual, "All they that look for thee shall not be ashamed. O Lord, show me thy ways and teach me thy paths. Alleluia, alleluia. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Alleluia." But there is a tendency for humanity, even for us as Christians, to overcomplicate things by misinterpreting signs and marveling at the wrong wonders. In fact, so much so that these things are the first words that Christ expresses in this morning's gospel. Remember what he said: "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars upon the earth, distress upon nations with perplexity and men's hearts failing them out of fear." But wait a minute. If Christ's coming is supposed to be this glorious event, a salvific event, why then does Jesus say these things are going to happen? Because men often follow the wrong signs. They often place their hope in things that are counterfeit, forgeries of happiness and contentment, that I like to call them. And when these things, as Jesus has described, come to pass, and of course there will be fear and trembling and distress to a proportion the likes this world has never yet seen, as I previously stated, we tend to overcomplicate things. We overcomplicate our lives by looking to and placing our hope in the wrong things. There are numerous signs and wonders upon the earth and in the sky even. But only one sign is worth chasing, worth following, for all others will lead us astray. Do you know what that one sign is? I want you all to think about that for a moment. And while you're doing this, remember, the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap, nor what? Nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And think of the grass, which is alive one day and the next thrown into the fire. How much more will he clothe you? And don't seek after such things, for all the nations of the world to seek after them. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So instead, seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. There will be signs in the stars and upon the earth and in the heavens for sure. Every age has such signs, but we needn't follow them except the one. Only one matters. This Advent, as we prepare for our Lord's birth, and the only one, the same one that matters, we look towards his second Advent. Only one sign mattered for the three Magi as they followed it some 2,000 years ago, and they saw it in the form of a star. We now see it in the shape of a cross. And the similarities between the two are unmistakable. The star of Bethlehem stood above the world. So did Christ hang above the world at the summit of Golgotha. The star pointed the way for the wise men to behold their Savior. So does the cross lead us to salvation. The wise men pursued the star because something in that symbol, they knew that it would bring out the best in them, that their legacy was somehow tied to it. And so too does the cross of Christ bring out the best in us, and is our legacy as Christians also attached to it. And just as it was the star that was all that the wise men would follow, so must be the cross of Christ for us. We follow it above all else, no matter the cost. For those of us that have already come into the church, the cross is imprinted upon your hearts, isn't it? But you know what? It's also what holds the church together. It has the power to save, but also to what? As we heard Christ say this morning, to strike fear into the hearts of those that oppose it and perplex the unbeliever. But also, the cross has the power to convict the heart of those who already bear the mark of Christ, the mark of the cross, but abandon it momentarily. And if you're anything like me and have had those lapses in faith and fallen into sin, I need to hear such words. It does me good to be reminded of them, as I pray it does for each and every one of you. This Advent is our chance at a new beginning, marked by the birth of Christ, and yet having the sign of the cross always as our destination. Everyone wants a second chance, don't they? Even in our faith, those second chances become more like an enormous amount of second chances. It's second chance after second chance, and so on, isn't it? And you know what? That's okay too. So long as we return to Christ with the firm intent to lead a life of holiness and righteousness with his help. But the more and more when we arise in the morning, as we begin our day, if we would just first look up, lift up our heads to the cross of Christ, and commit to follow it, then the less we will fall into sin, and the less we will be led astray by those signs and wonders that we have already spoken of that can lead to our destruction. Just as the cross stands above the world, so do we as Christians, as we no longer belong to the world, but to Christ. As Paul so fittingly puts it in his epistle to the Galatians, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. My friends, this Advent, this beginning, my counsel is simply this: to pursue the cross. Pursue it with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength. As the famous hymn goes, lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, to all the world adore his sacred name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.